work, I'm sorry, work I did with collaborators at McGill, students Fang Chen, Loizuan Hui, and Gil Holder is a professor. Sugumi Kana was a postdoc there. This concerns two different papers, but they're both related by the theme of generating non-standard features in the inflationary power spectrum. The first one is a search for spike-like bumps in the spectrum, which could have come from a tachyonic phase transition during or near the end of inflation. And the second idea is how you could get modified predictions for the Friedman equation and hence inflationary parameters from a six-dimensional brain world. And I probably don't need to tell you the motivation that we had better hope for some kind of unusual features which go beyond the spectral index and the amplitude, which so far are all we need to describe the spectrum. Otherwise, it's going to be awfully hopeless to try and pin down which of the zillion and one inflation models is the right one. So I'll start with this idea of bumps. And the kind of bumps we looked at have a k-cubed sort of power spectrum, as I've illustrated here with a sharp cutoff. And this was inspired by work I did earlier with Neil Barnaby, where we found that for special region of parameter space in the standard hybrid inflation model, you can get precisely such a kind of distortion to the spectrum. And it's coming from the tachyonic preheating at the end of inflation in the case where the tachyon is so light that it can also contribute significantly to the fluctuations at second order. And then later, I discovered that Julien Legourg had found just the same kind of behavior in a double inflation model, which I show you here. It's a model that a hybrid inflation model with three fields, two inflatons, and one tachyon. And when that instability sets in, that triggers the transition between one field rolling and the other. And he gets precisely this kind of k-cubed with a cutoff spectrum. And much earlier, Trashen and Abbott, using arguments of causality, showed that this k-cubed behavior could be quite generic. So this was the inspiration for us to go and search the latest CMB and large-scale structure data for evidence of such spikes. So here's the kind of ansatz we used. Black is the standard nearly scale-invariant power spectrum, and red is our modification with a spike. And it's cut off at some wave number. So this is a model that has two new parameters, the ratio of the spike to the standard almost scale invariant contribution, and the position or the cutoff of the spike. So we programmed Cosmo MC to go and search for such a feature. And we found, well, marginal evidence in one place, but a much more interesting indication with a lowering of chi-squared by 5.4 for this feature around LF500, where you see that the green data was falling below the best fit lambda CDM prediction. And we found that by having a spike with these parameters and simultaneously lowering the spectral index, one could get a better fit. And so that was what was giving rise to this improvement. And I should point out that this has the same number of new parameters as the famous running spectral index model that has not only the running but the tensor ratio. And yet this is a better improvement than that model which generated so many papers. And I should also mention that, well, you might question whether the power of k should count as an extra parameter. And so after we found this, we checked. And we found that it doesn't make a huge difference. And you might not be surprised because the CMB spectrum is a convolution of the primordial spectrum. And so that seems like a good justification a priori for considering this to be only a two extra parameter model and justifying our theoretical prejudice for just fixing the value. Now, unfortunately, what I just showed you is with the WMAP3 data. And we've redone it using WMAP5, and all that evidence for a spike disappears. And it appears to be due to the fact that we had, sorry, the freedom to adjust the spectral index more with WMAP 3 than with WMAP 5. So as a result, now we just get limits on this model. And here's, 68-95% allowed regions in the plane of the cutoff wave number. And, this ratio now, it's for some reason, it's evaluated at the pivot scale near the horizon rather than at the scale of the cutoff where it's biggest. But you can translate that into limits on the ratio of the extra component at the cutoff scale. It just looks like a tilted line in this plane. And so by making this line tangent to this 95% region, we get a limit from the WMAP 5 data alone, that such a spike should only be a 20% perturbation on the scale invariant spectrum. If you fold in the data from other CMB experiments and large-scale structure, then you improve that limit by about a factor of 2. And you also improve the range of scales over which that limit is applicable. So that was what we found. And I just think it's kind of interesting to see that the difference between WMAP 3 and WMAP 5 on the constraint that you get on that contamination, the limit improved by a factor of 8. So it's nice to see that the data is improving that rapidly. And we will continue to do this, of course, as we get more interesting data, and we'll hope that something positive shows up. But in the meantime, now let me move on to the second idea. And this is work with Feng Chen and Sugumi Kano, where we were looking for just the simplest, most straightforward generalization of the Randall-Sundrum model to 6 dimensions. And we parameterize it as a radial and a angular direction. So the picture you should have in mind is there's a warped bulk giving rise to a funnel-like geometry with 3 Brein that we're living on at the bottom, creating a conical singularity. And to make gravity localized, get to finite Planck mass, in this model you have to cut off the geometry with a 4 Brein, and then imagine gluing 2 copies of these together. So this 4 Brein plays the role of the Planck Brein in Randall-Sundrum. Okay, so those are the ingredients, and what we did was we studied what the Friedman equation looks like in that model, and we found that it's modified, which is also true in the Randall-Sundrum model or in 5 dimensions. We were careful to stabilize the size of the extra dimensions because from previous experience with Randall-Sundrum, we know that if you fail to do that, you can reach unphysical conclusions. So I'll just mention a few details about that. And we looked at 2 methods of stabilization. One is by adding a bulk scalar field a la Goldberger-Wise, which gives a preferred size to the extra dimension. And another method is simply to add some extra matter on this 4 Brein. For example, if I smear a 3 Brein around the 4 Brein, that would be one kind of extra matter I could add. And in general, you could add extra matter with an arbitrary equation of state with some parameter alpha that represents how much does that extra energy density get diluted if I was to grow the circumference L4 of the 4 Brein. So that's what alpha is doing. And what you find in this model is that if you choose a particular range of alpha, namely alpha greater than 5, then that stabilizes the geometry as well. And I have to admit, I don't know of any physical source of such an equation of state. So this is kind of a toy model, but it had many of the same features as the Goldberger-Wise mechanism, which we also studied. And it's much simpler and cleaner. And one of the simplicities of that choice is that it allows you to get an exact solution to Einstein's equations. For that purpose, it's convenient to parameterize the line element in this manner. And you find that, there's a factor here that just tells you that there's a conical defect. There's a deficit angle due to the free brain with tension tau 3 at the bottom. Now, this is just a constant. And then the metric elements have this form. And this is valid in a De Sitter universe. So, oh, and the length scale is dependent on the negative bulk energy. So that's the ADS curvature scale. Well, I won't flash the Einstein equations because they're not too illuminating. I'll just say that in this model, we have two junction conditions at the forebrain for the two metric functions. And so those two equations algebraically determine the unknowns, which are the size of the extra dimension, R4, the radial size, and the rate of expansion, the Hubble parameter. And so the way we've explored the Friedman equation in this model is to take the free brain tension as our model of energy density on the free brain, and we've swept aside all subtleties of, well, what happens if you choose another equation of state, because I think physically, if you treat that, you have to regularize, but these are irrelevant details. And choosing the simpler form of excess stress energy, just pure tension, should be good enough to establish what's the Friedman equation. And so we solve these jump conditions for H as a function of tau 3, and we hold all the other sources of stress energy fixed. And that gives us the Friedman equation. Well, what we find is something that looks like the DGP model. And it has this normal branch, which looks like GR. It's H squared is linear in the excess energy, excess tension about which you'd have a static solution. But then it starts turning over, reaches a critical point, and you get this exotic branch, which is self-accelerating. And just as in the DGP model, we found there's something wrong with that branch. It's not physical. In this case, it turns out that despite our stabilization mechanism, the extra dimension is unstable. And so we simply disregard that branch. And what we're going to focus on here is the interesting behavior you get from the deviation of the standard Friedman equation when you're close to that critical point. And so we parameterize that deviation as this function, which is the true Friedman relation divided by the GR version. And just by straightforward calculations, the usual definition of the power spectrum, you can find out what is the spectral index for the scalar and the tensor perturbations, and what is the tensor to scalar ratio in the presence of this modification. And you see these formulas revert to the standard ones when we let F equal 1. So what does this do to inflation? Well, as an illustration, we can consider simple m squared phi squared chaotic inflation on the brain. And well, what you see from this equation is that it tends to lower the spectral index. And so here, what I'm plotting is the relation of the spectral index to the number of E-foldings. And we can parameterize where that critical point, which corresponds to some maximum energy density, is by trading it for a parameter which I call NM, the maximum number of E-foldings. Number of E-foldings you would get if you started just at that point. Of course, if you take that to infinity, then you just recover the standard predictions. And if it's anything less, then you see a suppression of the spectral index relative to what it would have been. And another way to view that is on this famous plane of tensor ratio to spectral index. So here I've plotted some of those inflationary trajectories for different values of the maximum number of E-foldings. And of course, as you let that go to infinity, you recover the standard chaotic inflation prediction. But if it's less, then you can get something which is still a reasonable fit to the data and yet will also be experimentally distinguishable in the future. Why? Oh, you mean getting it close to that special point, or? This is just the usual thing. So, yeah. And so to get an interesting effect, we just have to have had a coincidence that inflation was starting near that maximum energy density. Well, I don't know what's setting the initial conditions for inflation. Yeah. But, well, presumably we could get eternal inflation near that point. So there's another prediction we get. You notice that I also mentioned the tensor ratio. And there's a famous consistency condition that the tensor ratio or tensor index divided by the tensor ratio is minus an eighth in single field inflation. And here I've plotted as a function of the potential over its maximum value how that deviates from the standard prediction. It's just the horizontal line. So this is 8 NT over R. And you see that the deviation can be enormous if you, again, are having horizon crossing sufficiently close to that critical energy density. Although it doesn't require enormous fine-tuning, so we have to be a little bit close, but not terribly close, and we can still get over 100% deviations. And so even though Planck won't be able to measure the tensor index very well, this could still be interesting just because we're able to get such a large deviation. So that's all I wanted to tell you. Just to recap, we found that WMAP3 had some tantalizing hints of bumps in the CMB spectrum, which are no longer there for WMAP5, but hopefully such things would show up in future data. And I've showed you how brain world modifications of the Friedman equation can change predictions for inflation. Thank you.
Any questions?
Hi, I have a question about the features of promoted power spectrum on CMB. I have tried that if your dark energy have some features, it can still produce some features on CMB power spectrum, and it can also decrease the chi-square by about 10, like this.
You say if the dark energy has features?
Yeah, dark energy equation of state.
Oh.
So
that's another source of features, you're saying?
Yeah. So I think it should be strongly degenerate with features.
Well, you get a kind of spike
like
that?
Yeah, bump-like, like this.
Okay, please tell me afterwards
okay.
The reference.
Thank you.
Although observation of motivation may have gone, but what are you assuming double inflation in the first part of your topic? I mean, because you are going to use the tachyonic preheating to generate this peak in the CMB, but in order to adjust the scale of this peak, you need to probably add some inflation epoch after the tachyonic preheating. Is that so?
Well, that's why this double inflation model of Legourgue was a very good prototype for this, because that has the phase transition happening during the visible part of inflation. So that's really what you would like in order to get the to be able to adjust the bump to be in the visible part of the CMB. If the phase transition is happening at the end of inflation, it's going to push the position of that bump to such small scales that you won't see it in the CMB, although you might see it in large scale structure.
Okay, let's thank Jim again.
Thanks.